Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Open in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 3. Tonight we're going to talk about something that plagues many believers, and it is undefined in their lives. And that is one of the reasons it plagues them, because it's very difficult for believers to define this. But yet many believers are completely plagued and tormented by this, in the sense of they never experience victory. They never experience overcoming. They are often overcome by circumstances, by emotions, by trials in their life, and they just can't seem to get victory. As much as they try, they just can't seem to get victory. If a person receives this message in humility, I believe that they could experience tremendous victory in their life if they apply it. But it would take applying the message, not just hearing it, but applying it. Whenever we hear a message, it's important that we learn to apply it through the Holy Spirit in our lives. Certainly not as a law, but the principles have to become the foundation of my thinking, but not just of my thinking, but also of my decision making. The way that I consider things. The Word of God has to be the foundation of those things. If it is not, I get into problems that are far worse than I may realize. Now, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Subtle means he was crafty. He was slick. He knew how to get in. He knew just the right thing to say at just the right time. He was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for the food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now if you would turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And starting in verse 22, the Word of God says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And if you would also turn to Deuteronomy 18, please. And in verse 9, the Word of God says, "And when thou art come into the land which the Lord God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer." Necromancer is, by the way, someone who consults demons to predict the future. "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." when Eve was in the garden, Satan managed to take advantage of something. Eve desired knowledge. Eve desired knowledge. And knowledge to her, through self-consciousness, became an idol. And Eve desired this idol. Because Eve was self-conscious in this, Satan managed to take advantage. Any time that a believer enters into self-consciousness, there is a place given to the devil. And Satan managed to take advantage of her self-consciousness through her lust for knowledge. She wanted to know the things that angels know. When that happened, when she became self-conscious, because she started esteeming something as being more important than the Word of God, at that point, she became familiar with the Word. But not only was she familiar with the Word, she was familiar with her place in the garden, with the position she had before God. Not only did she become familiar with the position that she had before God, she became familiar with the trees that God had given her. Not only did she become familiar with that, she also became familiar with the serpent. Scholars say that the serpent was probably a pet, a companion. And that companion, that pet, had then been used, perhaps entered, by either Satan himself or a demon. When that happened, she started to go under demonic influence through familiarity. Now, Eve made a serious mistake. The mistake wasn't in that she ate of the fruit of the tree. Certainly that was a mistake. But that wasn't what led to the problems. The problems already existed. The mistake that Eve made was that she became familiar. This is something that unwittingly can plague our lives, and we don't recognize it. There are believers, actually I think we could probably say there are many believers, as well as certainly unbelievers, that are actually involved in witchcraft. They don't think of it as witchcraft, but it is. It's not the witchcraft of casting spells and having incantations and things like that, but it is nevertheless witchcraft. And it's witchcraft that comes from satanic illuminations. Through these satanic illuminations, because of the results of familiarity, it is very possible, and I believe it does happen to many people, that they actually play with familiar spirits. Familiar spirits are the same spirits that cause the occult. Familiar spirits are frequently what we think of when we think of demons. There are many different types of demons. There's a vast array of armies of demons, categories of demons. But this is an important category that plagues many believers. And while they don't recognize what they are doing, in fact, many believers are involved in witchcraft. Now, it starts just like with Eve. It starts with familiarity. Now, familiarity comes through self-consciousness. I'm conscious of what I know. I'm conscious of what I want. I'm conscious of what I think. I'm conscious of how I feel. Self-consciousness. Self-consciousness almost invariably leads to familiarity. If I become self-conscious towards messages, then I will become familiar with the Word of God. when I become familiar with the Word of God, I won't reverence it, I'll criticize it. I won't see it as precious, I'll see it as common. A message will come and I'll criticize the message, saying, well, it could be like this or like this and I could do it better. That's all familiarity. Familiarity is basically when we regard the sacred as common, as ordinary. If I become familiar with the messenger, I'll regard the message also as ordinary as well as the messenger. If it's a pastor that's the messenger, for example, I won't give double honor. I won't give any honor. I won't honor believers. I'll become reactionary. It's because I'm familiar. Familiarity is perhaps the biggest sin in the Christian church, the most common one. It's also perhaps the most dangerous one. Now, let's turn back to 1 Samuel 15. And starting in verse 22. And Samuel said, and he's talking to Saul here, after Saul spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the best of the things that the Amalekites had. And Samuel said, had the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, is as, those two words are not in the original language. What it's saying is rebellion, the sin of witchcraft. There's an equation there. Rebellion, the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And again, is as are not in the original language. And he says stubbornness, iniquity, and idolatry. Rebellion is witchcraft. Stubbornness is idolatry and iniquity. Iniquity is emotional rebellion against God. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He's lying. He didn't fear the people. He did that on his own. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, and I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned about to go away and laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. Samuel said unto him, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and has given it to a neighbor of yours that is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. And then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray you, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as your sword has made woman childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag into pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. And Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Now, this is the progression. Starts with self-consciousness. Saul entered into self-consciousness not long after becoming king. When Saul entered into that self-consciousness and his position as king, that's where he started entering into problems. When Saul entered self-consciousness as king, he started to become familiar. He was oriented to himself and said to himself, I'm the king. And so no longer was the prophet's voice, the prophet's word, precious to Saul. It became ordinary. He still recognized it as being the word of God, but it had changed in his estimation through his familiarity. It was no longer something that must be yielded to, must be submitted to. Saul was no longer the man to be honored. After all, he was now close to Saul. He was the king. Saul was a companion to him in many ways, an advisor. But Saul was the king. Samuel was the advisor. Saul did not recognize that Samuel bore the words from God. He intellectually acknowledged it, but he was familiar with the reality of it. And that is because he was self-conscious. When he became familiar, he entered into disobedience. In other words, Saul said to him, kill everything that is of the Amalekites. Amalek in the Bible is a type for the flesh, for the old sin nature. And he said to Saul, kill everything of the Amalekites. But Saul in his life was doing, through that familiarity, the exact opposite. He was elevating his sin nature and dealing in an outward expression, trying to conform the appearance to submission, while all the meantime exalting himself and expanding his familiarity and his disobedience. And so, despite the fact that God had arranged an order, it was Samuel who had ordained Saul to be king. It was Samuel who ordained Saul to be king. Saul did not make Samuel a prophet. God did. But Saul was familiar with the word of Samuel because Saul became familiar not only with the word of God, but also with the messenger. And so he no longer felt the need for precise submission, precise obedience to the word of God, because he was familiar with the word and the messenger. He was familiar with the authority of the messenger. As such, he would not obey. When he did not obey, he spared Agag and he spared the sheep. But not only did he spare the sheep, then he did something that was a tremendous mistake. He took the sheep that he was supposed to slaughter and he used them as an offering to God. He used his flesh and not obedience, but rather his flesh and his familiarity, and that now became his service to God and his life with God. Now, we have to understand something. Disobedience to the word of God is rebellion. Disobedience to the word of God is rebellion. When he disobeyed the word of God, through familiarity, he entered into rebellion. Now, rebellion is witchcraft. When I disobey the word of God, it's usually through familiarity. When I dishonor the messenger, it's usually through familiarity. When that takes place, I stop submitting to the word and I become a judge of the word. I start to choose which areas of the word I find valuable and which areas of the word I can discard. That is rebellion. That is trafficking as a witch in familiar spirits. We have to be extremely careful because familiar spirits are powerful demons and they can completely deceive us just the same way as they deceived Eve. When Eve became familiar with the Word of God, she became familiar with the messenger of the Word, in this case, Adam. When Adam gave Eve definition, she received it, but she was already familiar with her husband. And so the word that he taught her was not precious to her, but was something that she could criticize, was something that she could evaluate, something she can pick and choose how she was going to submit to. When she did that, she entered into witchcraft through rebellion. When she entered into witchcraft, because it was with self-consciousness involved, now Satan could start speaking to her. She started trafficking in familiar spirits. This is an extremely dangerous thing in people's lives. And unfortunately, all too often, it happens. Now, Exodus 34:7, here is one of the dangers of this that we don't often consider. If I start playing with familiar spirits through rebellion, the effects are felt 3 and 4 generations down the line. That means my children suffer the effects. Their children suffer the effects. Their children suffer the effects. And the following generation of children suffer the effects. Now, they may not take on my sins, but they will take on my rebellion, and they will take on my familiar spirits. The other component of this that is so dangerous is because it affects us genetically. When we enter into that rebellion, it affects the epigenome, the part of our genes that controls how they are expressed and when they are expressed. And that is also passed on to my children. And so, when I enter into rebellion, I don't necessarily ensure that my children are going to commit my sins, but I do ensure that they're going to have my rebellion. And it may be expressed the same, or it may be expressed differently. In Job 34:13, rebellion is always against light. Rebellion is against light. And so when we reject the Word of God, when we don't receive it as precious, when we don't receive it as that pearl of great price, when we no longer see it as sacred, but as common, something to be chosen or left, something to be obeyed or disobeyed, something to be cherished or disregarded, something to be yielded to or criticized. When we enter into that place, we actually enter into playing with familiar spirits. We enter into trafficking in demons. This is incredibly dangerous, and it will affect my children, my great children, my great grandchildren, and their children. It is imperative that we guard our hearts against familiarity. It is absolutely imperative that we guard our hearts against familiarity. See, Saul could not remain as king. Not because he wouldn't repent, but because he didn't have a relationship with the Word of God. To him, it was ordinary to be chosen or discarded as he chose. not to be yielded, not to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, but every word that he desired to yield to. And he did it because he was familiar with Samuel. Now, Saul did something. Saul did worship God. He did honor God. He did it after, but there was a problem with it. He was still rejected. And the reason is because he honored and worshiped God in confession, but not in spirit and in truth. We worship in spirit and truth. In other words, we worship by the Holy Spirit's impartation of the Word of God. That is our worship. This is why Pastor Stevens always used to say, receiving and meditating on the Word of God is the highest form of worship. Concentration on the Word of God is the highest form of worship. Because he only worshipped in confession, he could not be king. Now, if you spare from your enemy, what is it that you're sparing? The enemy doesn't have anything to offer except for familiar spirits. So though he thought he was simply sparing the best of the sheep, he was actually trafficking in familiar spirits. He was entering into witchcraft through his rebellion. So now he was worshiping, but he was not worshiping in spirit and truth. He was worshiping in demonic influence through demonic illumination. It is very possible, and I believe that some people go there as believers, that they do not worship in spirit and in truth, but their worship and their life with God is not according to the Word and the Spirit, but according to demonic illuminations. Because Satan is, after all, an angel of light. And so I don't live in precision in obedience to God. I live in familiarity toward the Word of God. I don't live in honor and respect and authority in the body of Christ. I live in familiarity towards the body of Christ, or towards the pastor teacher, towards the message that is preached. And I'm actually living according to demonic illuminations. That familiarity thing is intensely dangerous. This is why many believers pray but have no power in prayer. This is why many believers read and receive the Word, but it doesn't transform. This is why many believers love the Word but have no power in the Word. Because they are approaching in familiarity, not reverencing the Word, but utilizing it according to the dictates of their old sin nature. And they are operating as witches. And they are involved in witchcraft. When someone operates in rebellion, they reject the Word. But they don't just reject the Word. They reject God's delegated table of organization, the leadership. They don't just reject leadership, they reject government. They don't just reject government, but also they reject love. They reject mercy. They reject grace. They reject forgiveness. They reject peace. They reject knowledge. They reject the gifts of the Spirit. They reject purpose. They reject the Great Commission. They reject edification. We receive the Word and we mix faith with what we hear. We don't become judges of the Word. We stay as recipients of it. Because the moment I start to judge the Word, I've entered into familiarity with the Word. The moment that I've entered familiarity with the Word, I'm no longer obeying the Word. I'm judging it. At that point, I am being influenced by familiar spirits. Now, a person does not have to do anything specific to be influenced by familiar spirits. They simply need to become familiar with the word to where they don't obey it. And then, on their own, with nothing more, the familiar spirits come in. A believer cannot be possessed by them, but they can most certainly be influenced by them, and most certainly have their voice box taken over by familiar spirits. Have you ever heard someone who's very critical? They're being influenced by familiar spirits. Their voice box is given over to familiar spirits. Have you ever heard someone who judges? Their voice box is given over to familiar spirits. Have you ever heard someone who's very negative? Their voice box is given over to familiar spirits. Have you ever heard someone who criticizes people in the body of Christ? Criticizes the pastor. Their voice box is given over to familiar spirits. Have you ever heard someone criticizing the message when it's a spirit-filled pastor preaching in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit? Their voice box is taken over by familiar spirits. Why? Familiarity through self-consciousness has opened the door and the spirits pass through. That person cannot be possessed, but they most definitely can be influenced and have their voice box used. If they are not a believer, then they can be possessed. Nobody who is born again, though, can be possessed. But most definitely, Saul was a believer. And Saul was extremely influenced by familiar spirits. His life turned very demonic. We have to guard our heart very carefully against familiar spirits. Familiar spirits very frequently show up in families and close relationships, in marriages, in parents to children and children to parents, among close friends, confidants. You frequently get familiar spirits when the person is not living by every word of God in their thinking and in their speech. How does that look? If a husband has been influenced by familiar spirits, frequently he will be unkind to his wife. And it is direct disobedience of Ephesians chapter 6, where the word of God says, husbands, love your wives. And in not obeying that portion of scriptures, husbands, love your wives, that husband is being directly influenced by demons towards his wife. If a wife does not submit properly to her husband, now I'm not saying she's a puppet by any means. She has a vertical relationship with God as on her own. But if her husband is a spirit-filled man who initiates in a godly way to his wife, and she becomes critical, she becomes negative toward him, she says, I'll do it if I like it, I won't do it if I don't. If she starts having a negative attitude toward him, maybe there's yelling in the home, reactions and bad emotions, she is under the influence of familiar spirits because she has not obeyed the word of God when it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. In that disobedience to the word of God, familiar spirits come in. That is their open door, and when the door is open, they do arrive, and they arrive quickly. They are looking for opportunities, and when they see one, they snatch it. It is imperative that we live in obedience to the Word of God. We never become familiar with the message. We never become familiar with the messenger. And our tongue will reveal the spirit that we are of. The Word of God is everything. The Word of God is everything. The best thing that the enemy can offer is a familiar spirit. And these may show up as religious spirits or even spirits of knowledge. Not knowledge from the mind of Christ, but knowledge. Have you ever seen a situation where a person figures out exactly what should be done in every situation, but it's not according to God's mind or God's heart? That is the influence of a familiar spirit, and they think they have knowledge. It comes through all kinds of religious practices, where because I practice this thing, because I do or don't do this, because I have this tradition, but I step outside of grace, I step outside of the blood, I step outside of mercy, I step outside the character of God, I'm already influenced by familiar spirits. Anytime a believer can live outside of the manifestation of the love of God, that believer is being influenced by familiar spirits. Remember, we don't fight against flesh and blood. It's not flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers. And I can look at somebody and say, oh, principalities and powers are causing them to say things that I don't particularly like, so I'm going to let them have it. But it's principalities and powers that are affecting me, not them. If I have a temper, it's familiar spirits affecting me, not the person that I'm angry at. If I'm insecure, it's familiar spirits affecting me, not the people that are speaking to me. If I live outside of the character of God, outside of the Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit, then I'm living with familiar spirits. Because I've rejected and disobeyed God's word about His character. Anytime a believer rejects the Word of God, it is because of familiarity. Familiarity is the rejection of the Word of God. When God says, I need His Word more than my daily food, more than actually what it says, what is necessary. It's not really talking about food. I need His Word more than I need anything that I consider to be necessary. When God says that, and I don't yield in my life and my decisions to the Word of God, I'm living in familiar spirits. Folks, this is practical warfare. I can't be an ostrich Christian where I stick my head in the sand and pretend it isn't there. Because it is there. And it's real, and it's present, and it's effectual, and it's in many, many people's lives. We think of people as being demonic the way that Hollywood portrays it. Satan's not like that. It's not the way that he approached Eve. He approached her as a friend. He approached her as, hey Eve, I can give you something that you've always wanted, and I can tell you how to go about getting it. He is the angel of light. This is why he's so subtle. Anytime, through familiarity, that disobedience comes in, I'm in rebellion. So the correlation between familiarity and rebellion is extremely close. The result of rebellion is familiar spirits coming in and influencing my life. I can't do anything to change that if I'm not living in obedience to the Word. Now, in Ephesians 6:17, the Word of God says, take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. In Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you see what it is to become familiar with the Word, familiar with a message? Do you see what it is? It is familiarity with the only thing that I have to withstand the wiles of the enemy, the strategies of the enemy, to withstand familiar spirits. Do you see why Satan wants to take the Word of God and make it ordinary in my life rather than precious and to be revered? Because it opens the door when that happens to familiar spirits, and now my life is controlled and influenced by demons as a believer. And I can't do anything about it because I'm familiar with the only provision that I have against it. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's a discerner of the spirit that I'm of. Here's the thing. For Christians, it's very difficult sometimes, and sometimes even dangerous, to try to figure out the spirit. Because if I'm influenced by familiar spirits, I don't know my spirit. And that is a dangerous place to be. When we succumb to familiar spirits, and it often shows up in our confession, in our words, in our attitude, in our mentality, and in our decisions. When we succumb to familiar spirits, we are in witchcraft. It's not that we're in danger of being in witchcraft. We are in witchcraft. And many believers in many churches, even though perhaps the churches are exceptional and do a great job preaching the Word of God, they are in witchcraft. This is exactly what happened to Ephesus in Revelation chapter 1 through 5, I believe. They were in witchcraft. But they had this brilliant doctrine. They were taught by the apostles, but they were familiar because of the quality of their doctrine. They became familiar with the character of God. And they no longer submitted to what the Savior said, love one another as I have loved you. They no longer submitted to, no greater love has any man than to lay down his life for his friends. They no longer submitted to esteem one another as being better. They no longer submitted to you one to another. No, they were esteeming themselves as better. They were entering into pride because they were familiar with doctrine. They used doctrine intellectually, leaving behind the heart of God. And in doing so, they disobeyed. And when they disobeyed, they were being controlled by demons, and God had to cut that church off. And He did. It was the shortest lived of all of the churches, and it was the apostles' church. The apostles were their pastors. But familiarity came in. And through that familiarity, rebellion came in. And through that rebellion, demonic activity came in. And it didn't show itself up as something heinous, as something vulgar or vile. It showed itself in self-righteousness. It showed itself in self-elevation and in self-consciousness. And it was witchcraft. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Philippians 2:5, the apostle says, "Let the mind of Christ be in you." Let the mind of Christ be in you. The Word of God brings in the light of the mind of Christ, and it reveals the darkness of the enemy, and it reveals love, and it reveals grace, and it gives us the power to live in Christ, in the body of Christ. It's through the Word of God. This is why familiarity with the messenger is common. This is why familiarity toward the Word is common. It is Satan's number one strategy. Be familiar with Samuel, Saul. Be familiar with Samuel. You know him well. Be familiar with him. And no longer is his message the thing that you cherished when you were young. It is now something that you evaluate, analyze, criticize. It's something that you decide if you're going to yield to or not. He was trafficking in demons, in witchcraft, and God took the kingdom from him. And when he took the kingdom from him, he also took the promise. Because it was supposed to be Saul's seed on the throne. And that's the promise he gave him. If you follow me, if you give me your heart, if you obey me, if you live with me, Saul, your seed will have the kingdom. But he didn't. And he lost that through familiarity. Take nothing for granted. Don't ever become familiar. In your relationships, do not become familiar with the other person. Do not ever become familiar with your position before God. Do not ever become familiar with the Word of God. Do not ever become familiar with the body of Christ. Do not ever become familiar with the pastor teacher. Do not ever become familiar with the promises of God. Do not think to yourself, "I know this person, now I can be familiar. I know this passage, now I can be familiar. I know this situation, now I can be familiar. I know this place, now I can be familiar." Because in that familiarity, you're trafficking in familiar spirits. Beware of familiarity. Now, when the Word of God comes in, I have a provision against familiarity. When Christians reject the Word of God, they habitually get familiar with their weaknesses. When I don't obey the Word of God, I become familiar with my weaknesses. And I start to live in the weaknesses as though God will simply wink at them. Because I'm disobedient and I'm familiar with my own disobedience. I'm familiar with the Word. I'm familiar with God. And I become familiar with those weaknesses. This is why believers do things like get unkind, live outside of grace, become judgmental, become harsh. When did God ever say it was okay to do any of those things? Didn't He command us the opposite? Here's one. This is why believers get into things like pornography. There's people who listen to these messages on the internet and they look at pornography. And they think nobody knows it. But I got news for you. God knows it. There's people in different places in Europe and different places in the world who listen to our messages, but they look at pornography on the internet. If that's you on the internet, you need to stop trafficking in demons and start obeying the Word of God. And if you can't not look at pornography and you are on the internet and you can't help yourself, then throw out your computer. And don't use messages as an excuse saying, "Well, I won't be able to..." Then get a friend to download them for you. Why? Because you're destroying yourself, you're destroying your children, you're destroying their children, and you're destroying the children after them. That's why. And you are trafficking in demons, make no bones about it. Why do you think it's such a compulsion? It's demons. Through familiar spirits in disobedience to the Word of God. Now, on the other hand, When a believer lives in the light through obedience, faith obedience. What does faith obedience mean? I do it because the Word said it and I simply trust God to do it. Isn't that legalism? You can call it whatever you like. God calls it obedience. Faith obedience to the Word of God gets rid of familiar spirits. If I want protection against familiar spirits, then the mind of Christ residing in me and my obedience to the mind of Christ will not give a single millimeter to a familiar spirit. Familiar spirits cannot affect anyone who is simply obeying the Word of God. That is our protection against familiar spirits. It is the Word of God. The Word of God protects me against them. Now, if I have familiar spirits, then I will be in an emotional situation. I will have emotions that cannot detect, that cannot sense those familiar spirits. On the other hand, if I take in the Word of God and I obey the Word of God, then I will have pure, healthy emotions. Pastor Stevens once said, every emotional disturbance comes from familiar spirits. Every problem comes from familiar spirits. Every emotional problem I have comes from familiar spirits entering through rebellion. Remember, rebellion is rejection of God's Word. And it comes through familiarity with God's Word. When I have the Word of God, I have that lamp. And I have that light. I obey simply because I know what the reality is. I know what truth is. And so, but I obey the truth. When I have a Word of God, I have a helmet. Why is it the helmet of salvation? Because it protects my mind. Why is it the sword of the Spirit? Because it cuts off those familiar spirits. It's not something I wield, it's something that the Spirit wields on my behalf. When I live in obedience to the Word of God, I don't have to do anything else. I just obey the Word of God and the familiar spirits must depart. They cannot stand in the presence of a Christian who obeys the Word of God. This is why the Word of God says, resist the devil and he will flee. How do I resist the devil? I obey the Word of God. But here's the thing, I can't obey the Word of God unless I possess the Word of God. I can't obey the Word of God unless I hear the Word of God. I can't possess it if I don't hear it. I can't hear the Word of God if I'm familiar with the preacher. It's very common that Christians become familiar with their pastors. What they don't realize, it's also demonically initiated. Why? Because if I'm familiar with the messenger, I don't have to worry about the message. If I'm familiar with the message, I can nitpick it, take it apart, analyze it, criticize it, judge it, evaluate it, say it could be done better like this. And I receive nothing from the Spirit. I have no sword, but what I do have is demons. Influencing my life, they're familiar spirits. And I don't even recognize it because they've produced an emotion in me that can't recognize it. As a believer, I humble myself. A humble person does not become familiar. Humility is simply that I agree with God. It is the opposite of familiarity. What is the opposite of faith response? Familiarity. What is the manifestation of humility? Faith response. Faith and familiarity are the opposites. Not faith and lack of faith. Not faith and sin. No, faith and familiarity. They are the opposites. And I live in one or I live in the other. And if I live in faith, it's because I live in humility. And if I live in familiarity, it's because I live in pride. Why? Because the manifestation of pride is self-consciousness. It lifts me up rather than allowing God to lift me up. And when I enter into that pride, manifesting that self-consciousness, self-consciousness always leads me into familiarity. Familiarity always leads me into disobedience, which is rebellion. I can't help but enter into witchcraft with familiar spirits influencing me and illuminating things for my life, rationalizing away, using natural thinking, natural analysis, living by sight, and estimating everything according to self. And now disobedience becomes very easily justified. It's witchcraft. Humility has a manifestation of God consciousness. God consciousness always estimates the Word of God as being higher than anything that it needs. God consciousness always keeps the Word of God in my frame of reference. And when I have the Word of God in my frame of reference, I don't have to strive to obey. I obey simply because that's the way I think. And when it becomes the way I think because I have the mind of Christ, obedience is simply my normal lifestyle. Nothing else is even considered. And I become a very powerful Christian because in John 15, if God's Word abides in me and I abide in Him, I can ask anything that I will and it will be done for me. And my prayer life becomes extremely powerful. My witness becomes extremely powerful. My emotions become extremely healthy. My ability to hear from God becomes extremely powerful. My presence becomes extremely powerful because then people see Christ in my body, in me, in who I am, in my expressions, in my life. And I become a fully functional member of the body of Christ. There are many who are positionally the body, but experientially, they're dead. And the reason is because they don't obey the Word of God. And when I don't obey the Word of God, the life of God is not manifested in me. The Spirit is present, but He is grieved. And sometimes He's out and out quenched. When I have the Word of God, Satan cannot oppose me. He can try to stand against me, but in a life of faith obedience, he has to flee. When I have the Word of God, I don't need to do anything else. I just obey the Word, and the familiar spirits depart. There is no one who has any kind of a serious emotional problem. There's no one who has any kind of a hang-up. There's no one who lives in moods. There is no one whose confession is not godly. There's no one who's critical. There's no one who is negative, who cannot be instantly delivered from familiar spirits if they start simply obeying the Word of God. It's not a question of will Satan leave, will familiar spirits leave if I obey the Word. He must. He cannot stand in its presence. neither can the familiar spirits. It's not a question of will the familiar spirits come in if I do not obey the word. Yes, they will. And they will because I, in my self-consciousness and rebellion, have opened that door and invited them to have influence in my life. We always live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith obedience takes care of familiar spirits. Faith obedience takes care of all their manifestations. But I must obey the word of God. Amen.